let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Robert Pollock received Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior in 1980, was baptized with the Holy Spirit while on tour in Egypt in 1981. A born-again Christian, he speaks and writes in tongues and has turned his spiritual writings into an art form. Robert is the author of The Sixth and Seventh-day Man, a trilogy, Book 1, The Time of Adam and Eve, Book 2, The Time of Enoch, and Book 3, The Time of Noah. Robert was born in Oakland, raised in Albuquerque, number 13 of a family of 15, joined the Air Force, spent time in Vietnam, all over Southeast Asia, Europe, Egypt, as well as numerous places in the U.S. He taught himself to play guitar, has written over 1,000 songs, and has two CDs. Robert Pollock, author of The Sixth and Seventh Man, a trilogy, is our guest on This Week in America. Robert, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Good being here.
Excellent job with the book, and really looking forward to talking about this. And the time will go by so quickly. There's so many interesting things to talk about. Let's start, first of all, with the inspiration in writing the book, The Sixth and Seventh Day Man. When did this idea come to you? How did this come to you?
Well, the Sixth and Seventh Day Man idea came to me as I was, when I was born again in 1980, I started reading the book, the Bible, and I just couldn't get away from Genesis. There's some questions in there that I didn't find any answers to, and nobody else knew the answers to, particularly where Cain left the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod with his wife. And I kind of wonder, where did that woman come from? And as I kept reading the book, the Bible, I couldn't find any answers to that. I couldn't find any answers to what the image of God was in man. I prayed about that, and God told me it was the power to create and appreciate that creation. The inspiration came from the Holy Spirit. He kind of guided me and led me through the whole process. And starting to write the book, The Sixth and Seventh Day Man, I published the first book, The Time of Adam and Eve. And when I got busy with The Time of Enoch, the publisher at that time was more expensive. And so I said, well, I just put it away for a while. And then I continued writing. And you have what you have in your... Actually, this is the third edition of The Sixth and Seventh Day Man. It is the better one when you have it. It is the better one because I submitted my second book and to an agency asking them to tell me what was wrong with my book because it wasn't selling. And so he sent me an email and you know, you normally have 5 stars. If your book is good, you got 5 stars. If not, I had a half a star. And I said, what's wrong with the book? He says, who edited this book? And I said, I did, proudly. And he said, no. He said, writers don't edit. Editors edit. Writers write. And I said, oh. So then I went looking for someone to help me edit The Sixth and Seventh Day Man. And I found Stratton Publishing, and they accepted the manuscript after about 2 or 3 rejections from other companies that didn't meet their standards, they said. And so that's what you have in your product now. It's a good book. It's an easy read, and it's I think you'd enjoy reading it. There's some answers to a lot of questions that we have when we first read the book of Genesis.
Well, yes, people have questions. You went out and you sought answers, and you have that in The Sixth and Seventh Day Man, a trilogy. Stratton Press, by the way, their website is stratton-press.com. You'll find the book at Amazon. I'll send you to Stratton Press because they're the publishers. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can link on directly. What events led you to getting the idea that a man came before Adam and Eve? I find that fascinating. How did that idea develop?
That idea developed in the first chapter of Genesis. I couldn't figure it out any other way. And I wrote a story. It's a story. And in the sixth day, the Lord made a male and a female. He didn't name them, but he gave them everything. He said, go out and replenish the word. The word replenish stuck out on me. I said, what do you mean replenish? Was there something coming before Genesis? He gave the same commandment to Noah after the flood. Well, we understand after the flood, when he said replenish, he meant do it again. Well, in the sixth day, the male and female that God created, he didn't give a name. And as you read the introduction of the first book, you'll see what they did. They actually created a weapon that they couldn't control and set it off and almost wiped out the human race at that time. And it shrouded the earth with a cloud. And of course, like I said, it's a story. And they were pigmented and white folks. They were just white people. And so when I got to the second chapter of Genesis, I see that the Lord God, and we mentioned Lord God, we're always talking about Jesus. And you see the Trinity there, God the Father creating and the Spirit moving. And in the second chapter, the Lord God forms a man of the dust of the ground. Creating and forming are two different things. When you form, you have substance. And Adam was made with the richest, fertilest earth you can find on earth, and that was in the garden. And so I made him a black man or a dark man. It all depends on the perspective of the person who's talking. And so I had the white issue and I had the black issue, and I went with that.
With us on the program is Robert Pollack. He's the author of The Sixth and Seventh Day Man. This is a trilogy. Stratton-Press.com is a great place to go to get information on the book and to order that as well. As you're doing the research, as you're writing the book, publishing the book, has there been any opposition along the way, any controversy as you've written these books?
Oh yeah. I don't know about your faith. I don't know if you're born again or not, but we are taught when we first come to the Lord that Adam was the first man.
Yes.
And I had a lady come up there yesterday, a day before yesterday, and she said, I just can't get past the idea that a man came before Adam. And I told her, I said, I really can't either. I really had a problem with that. And I talked to the Lord about it. And if you ask God a question, he'll give you the answer. It may not be what you're asking for, but excuse me, he'll give you the answer. And the Lord said to me that Adam was a spiritual man. He says you can't walk in the garden in the cool of the day without being spiritual. The garden was a spiritual place, but it was east of Eden. Eden was already a place built by the 6-day male and female. And it was that 6-day woman that Cain married and left the presence of the Lord. The death scene that when he killed his brother is an interesting part of the book. The readers will really, I don't know, but enjoy. But you see the reason why God rejected Cain, and he went to the land of Nod and dwelt with his wife, and they had a child and named the child Enoch, and Cain built the great city of Enoch, which is on the other side of the Great Turban Mountains, and the other side is the city of Eden and the land of Adam.
It's just a fascinating read. The author, Robert Pollack, is our guest on the program. The book series is The Sixth and Seventh Day Man. It's a trilogy. You talk a little bit about the difficulty in getting the book out. From the time that you first decided you were going to write the book, how long did it take you to get it in its current form, where you're out there and it's fully edited now and you feel comfortable in talking about its message?
It took me about 4 to 5 years. It's been a long time. A lot of
Wow.
life gets in the way.
Yes.
I did Adam and Eve, and I got the publishing on that one. I wanted to do the second book, but the publisher said it was more expensive to do a smaller book. The Time of Enoch is a smaller book, and the Time of Noah is the larger book, and Noah is more sci-fi, and I like sci-fi. Because what we do today with our cell phones and everything else was sci-fi when I was growing up in the
Exactly.
60s. So that's the imagination. And that's why I asked God what the image of God was in mankind. And God, because I've heard a lot of talk about this image that is in man, God's image in man. I said, what is it? And I've heard preaching about this and that and everything else. And I walk away saying, I'm not really comfortable with all this. And so I asked the Lord about that, and he says, go to the first line of the first chapter of Genesis. And the book said, in the beginning, God created. The Lord spoke to me. He says, every human being that comes into this world is stamped with a power to create. And when I thought that, and I said, I heard that, and I said, you're right. You're right, Lord. And I said, but birds make nests. Spiders have beautiful webs, and they create. He says, yeah, but they don't appreciate their creation. Man is the only one that can appreciate it. And he did at the end of the first chapter, he said it, and God saw everything that he had done. It was very good.
What is the purpose for this trilogy in writing this? What do you hope that the reader will take away from reading the Sixth and Seventh Day Man?
Well, Rick, you know, I attribute the book to God. The Lord was the one who had me write all these years, putting it all together, and now we have a final manuscript, and we have a final book. The reason, the purpose, is to let people know, as in the time of Noah, that Christ is coming back soon. That Jesus said you must be born again. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't a maybe. Jesus says you must be born again. So this idea about being born again is the Lord's idea, of course. And the reason for the book is to bring people to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if one person is born again, one person is born again, then the purpose of the whole book is what it was written for.
You talk about sharing the glory. This, you feel, wasn't a book that you wrote on your own, was it?
I'm sorry, sir?
Yeah, you talk about sharing the glory. This just wasn't you writing this book. You had a little divine inspiration along the way, didn't you?
Oh my gosh, yes. I read it, and I still enjoy reading the book. I have a lot of fun reading it because there's a lot of stuff in there. And I tell myself, you know, did you write this? Yes, you wrote it. And there it is. But it's through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's a lot of people who come up and say, no, Adam was the first man. And I don't dispute that. He was the first man. He was a spiritual man. And Jesus was the second man. But Jesus was all God, all man, all spirit. He was God. But Adam wasn't. He left the Garden of Eden. And so when I look at it that way, I say, yeah, why not? It's a good story.
With us on the program is Robert Pollack. He's the author of The Sixth and Seventh Day Man, a trilogy. You mentioned this before, and we're running out of time, but I really want to go back and talk about this. The black and white issue. Talk about that and how that came up.
I'm not too sure how that came up. It just did. And the contrast was there that that the Sixth Day Man was pigmented white with no spots on him. And, of course, the Lord says that his children have no spots. We'll be spot-free. Adam was a dark man, a black man, with no spots on him. And if you follow that, train of thought all the way through the book of Enoch, who were captured and used as slaves to build the great city of Acrima across the great ocean, him and his clan went to Acrima, and they migrated to a place called Rabet. And we get into the book of Noah. And if you read all the way through Noah, you'll find that Noah's, the children of Adam, were dark people with no spots on their skin. And that's how that idea came up. The union between Cain and Adi being a white lady, a six-day lady, and Cain being a seventh-day man, a dark man, their first child was born with spots, and they called them freckles. In case you didn't know.
No, didn't realize that. You learn something by reading the book and by listening to the program. Yeah, that's what makes this fun, because I learn things at the end of the day. What is the difference between the six-day man and the seventh-day man?
Well, the six-day man, and you'll find that in the front of the book, the six-day man, and all this is glory to the Lord, because God is good. The six-day man is the man who doesn't know Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He's the captain of his own ship. He's the ruler of his own destiny, and he is the guy who did it his way, so to speak. And the seventh-day man is the man who is born again, has given his life to the Lord, listens to the Lord as he speaks to each one of us, and waits for the coming back of Jesus Christ with anticipation. And right now, we have 6 day people running around all over the place, and you know them. I've seen them. They're everywhere. People don't know the Lord. And there's 7 day people also.
Robert Pollack, our guest on the program, talking about his book, The Sixth and Seventh Day Man, a trilogy. You'll find it at stratton-press.com, Amazon, the usual places. A few minutes left in the program. What is the image of God in mankind?
Well, we just discussed that when I asked the Lord what that image was, he made it very simple. The word of God is simple. People, it's easy to understand. But God sent me back to the beginning of creation. In the beginning, God created. That creative power is that image. And every single man and woman that comes into this world, that power to create and be appreciative of that creation that you just did. That seemed logical to me. It seemed right. And so that's why I put it in the book. That is the image. To me, that is the image of God. And like I said, I've heard a lot of philosophical interpretations, things like this, but they're very confusing to me. God makes it simple. It's okay. We all create. We all create. And when we do create, we stand back and we look at something we made and say, you know, that's a nice song I wrote, or that's a beautiful picture I just painted, or that's a good book that I just wrote. We appreciate that creation, and we share that creation with God. And the power to create is like the what you've created is what that creative power of God is in each and every man. That's our image.
Sometimes we have a tendency to overcomplicate, so I like to hear that. It's just sometimes the message is very simple. That's all it needs to be. It gets the point across, right. and we all can understand it. What is there a conclusion in the book? What's the conclusion that you have?
I knew I asked those questions, and after a while, I go, the conclusion is that Jesus Christ is coming back again shortly, and I'm not the only one getting the word out. People, there's other books and everything else. You know, during the time that I was writing this book, all those years, people would come up and say, hey, have you read this book on Noah? Or have you read this book on Enoch? Look, here's a book over here. I didn't go to any other book except the Bible and used the creative powers that God has given me to create this book. And the conclusion is Jesus has his special people, those who are born again. And when the Lord comes back, he's going to take them home. And we have that faith. That is our comfort, knowing that that's going to happen. And a lot of people say, well, Jesus hasn't come back yet, blah, blah, blah. I understand that, but all signs point to him coming pretty soon. And like I said, not only my book, but there's many other books out there probably talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ and how short it is. And we need to get ready. As during the time of Noah, he was telling people that, hey, the world's going to end. But during Noah's time, there was no way out. There was no escape. There was no forgiveness. There was no nothing. He and his wife, his three sons and their wives were the only ones that were going to be saved, and all the rest of them were going to die. And that was a hard pill to swallow for Jamie Summers, the lady who interviewed him. That was a hard pill to swallow for the world, saying, what? I didn't know God had favorites. Well, there you go. Adam and his wife and three sons and their wives were saved in the ark, and everybody else died.
A minute or so left in the program. What has this experience been like for you? It started with questions. It ends up with a trilogy, a series that is getting a lot of attention out there that ended up with the Sixth and the Seventh Day Man. What has this been like for you?
It's been fun. I thought after the book was written, I was going to die because it took so long to write it. But yeah, I appreciate your comment that there it's really going to be catch on fire out there. And people are
yes.
really going to. I sold 10 books. Right, they sent me 10 books free, and they were gone in no time at all. I'm going to have a book signing here the 9th of January over at the library, and we're going to be hopefully selling more books. But the interesting thing is that if you have questions about what Adam looked like, what Eve looked like, what did Enoch look like, how did the Lord take him? Because the Bible says Enoch walked with God and he was not. And then what did Noah, you know, in the time of Noah, it's futuristic with click-clacks and carts and everything else. That's my input. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I wanted to make it interesting and stuff. And there had to be, and a lot of story can be told in dialogue and how people talk to each other and how they relate to one another. And so I did that through the whole book with dialogue more than anything else, people talking to each other. That's how we share. And the book of Noah might be a little intense for some people, but I had to write the book because Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be before the second coming of man. And so Noah's time has to mirror our time. It has to look like our time. And there was, of course, abortion, then there was the homosexuality. There's all the social issues that we are confronting in this time and age that were confronted during the time of Noah. And God was not pleased with his people back then, and God is not pleased with the people now. And so that relationship to tying it to Noah's time, you're bringing it all the way to our time. A lot of people say, well, yeah, that's true. If this happened during Noah's time, it's happening again. People are crazy.
Well, leave it at that. That's a summation, and nobody's going to argue with that. Nobody's going to argue whatsoever. It's just an excellent job that you've done with the Sixth and Seventh Day Man, a trilogy. Robert Pollack, if you're Googling that, that's Pollack. You'll find the book at stratton-press.com. Of course, Amazon, the usual places. And if you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you'll be able to link on directly, get information on Robert and the book. Robert, it's been a pleasure to have you on the program. Congratulations on a job well done. It's an excellent series, excellent trilogy. Thank you for being with us on the program today.
Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you, and God bless you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. The Sixth and the Seventh Day Man is the name of the book, a trilogy. Robert Pollack, our guest, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.